Take to your Bibles, Psalm 16. Psalm 16, going to look at a quick thought here, continuing our series on the will of God. Give you just a second to turn there and find it. Psalm 16. Great verse here. All right, you find it? You got it there? Once you've got it, look on up here. That way I know that we're ready to go. All right, good. Good. We're about two-thirds. All right, we're going to go ahead. Psalm 16, notice verse 11 here. Notice what the Bible says. This is probably my wife's favorite verse in Scripture. She claimed this verse as a teenager, and I love it. Notice what it says here, Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life." Notice here that this is not a path in life. This is the path in life. David here asking the Lord to reveal His will for him. And of course, this is in regards to what we're talking about in this series. There is a specific path, I believe, and according to what the Scriptures teach, for your life. The Lord has a specific plan for you. And the question that you and I need to have in relation to that truth is, Lord, what is that? Lord, I want to be in and on that path. I want to be in your will every day. And of course, as we are laying these foundational things in relation to God's general will for everyone, we are working towards some questions that we will then begin to ask as we seek the specific will of God. But as we've sort of talked about throughout the series, we notice that there are different views of the will of God. People view God's will for them in different ways. Some people do not believe that there is a specific will for everyone. They would say that aside from just doing right, God does not care about the decisions that you make. They say, hey, you know what? Obey the Bible, okay? In other words, do right and then operate within that realm, okay? In other words, you don't have to seek God for decisions that you make. As long as you're not doing something against His Word, then you're good to go. Okay, that's a view that is out there. I don't believe that's consistent with what we see in Scripture, some of which we've already talked about. There are some people, and maybe we've even done this at times, but sometimes we can follow our own desires and cover those desires with right words. You know, God wants me to do this. I've actually heard teenagers tell me things that God wants them to do that are contrary to Scripture. Okay? How many of you think that works? That doesn't work. Okay? God's never going to lead you. His Holy Spirit is never going to lead in a way that would be contrary to the Word of God. But sometimes we are very good with cloaking our own desires in right lingo. There's a story that is told, in fact, of an old Scottish woman who went from home to home across the countryside selling thread, buttons, and shoestring. Obviously, you understand this was not in our modern day times. Okay. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick into the air and go in the direction the stick pointed when it landed. One day, she was seen tossing the stick up several times. Someone asked, "Why do you toss the stick more than once?" She said, "Because," replied the woman, "it keeps pointing to the left. I want to take the road on the right." She then dutifully kept throwing the stick into the air until it pointed the way she wanted to go. Okay, sort of a humorous story, but you know what? We do that sometimes. We get in our mind, We want something. We desire something so strongly that they keep going after it until it falls into place for us how we want it to. And so you and I as Christians have to guard our heart from that. And we've got to be careful that we don't cloak our own desires in religious lingo, saying, well, hey, I prayed about this, maybe when we really didn't. Or hey, this is what God wants me to do, when really we have no confirmation of that. It's just what we want to do. We have to be very careful of that. You know, there are some things that we've been talking about that you and I don't need to pray about. You say, wow, that's, you know, that doesn't sound very good. Well, here's what I mean. In relation to the general will of God, the things that we've been looking at, the fact that the Lord wants us to be saved, the Lord wants us to pray, the Lord wants us to read the Word of God, the Lord wants us to be thankful. Some of the things we looked at last week, the Lord wants us to be baptized. The Lord wants us, number six, to be filled with the Spirit. You don't have to say, Brother Scott, you know, I just feel like right now, you know, the Lord wants me to pray about reading the Bible. I just got to pray about that. Okay? I'm just not sure. Okay? You don't need to pray about that. Okay? In regards to baptism, you say, well, I'm just not sure that I should be baptized. You don't need to pray about it. Okay? It's part of God's general will for your life. So there's some things that you and I don't need to pray about that we know God wants to have a part of our lives as Christians. And so we see that. We're going through, we've got a few things left here in God's general will. I want to try to get it done with these today. But notice number seven. And for number seven, we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Again, I want you guys help today with this. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. Who'd be willing to read that? Mike is going to read that one for us. Let's see here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. Let's go to Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Andrew, if you'd go there. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 8. And let's see, let's get a girl. I think I saw you, Michaela, first. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Okay, so this is the seventh thing that we're looking at. Again, that we don't have to pray about, but the Lord specifically says, hey, this is what I want a part of your life. Okay, let's see what it says and see if we can figure it out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Micah. Okay, very good. Matthew 5, 27, 28.
We have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Okay, Philippians 4 and verse 8. Okay, now, what do these three verses have in common? Okay, now this one is not as specific as some of the other ones that we've done, where it's said the exact word every single time. But what do these three verses have in common that the Lord either wants us to keep out of our life and hold to something else? Ethan. Yeah, exactly. In fact, I could not have said it better myself. Okay, purity. All right, purity. God wants you and I as Christians to be pure. And obviously, there's a lot of things that fall into that category. If you're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, that verse there, as was read by Micah, says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Okay, now fornication is sensual sins. Okay, it's a broad scope. All right, it could be adultery. Okay, it could be pornography. Okay, it could be lustful thinking. It could be inappropriate contact with the opposite gender. Okay, it could be a lot of things. All right, fornication is a big umbrella. But Paul says this. He says abstain from it. He says abstain from it. Okay, so So, Brother Scott, you know, I feel like I need to pray about the contact that I have with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I really need to pray about that. We've prayed about it, and we feel like it's okay to do this. No, it's not, okay, because the Bible says abstain from fornication. I want to take you to a verse that really we could talk a lot about, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay, we're talking about the Lord wanting purity to be a part of your life, abstaining from impure things. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Notice here a couple of verses. Paul's dealing with a church that had fornication going on in their midst. And notice the instruction that Paul gives to them. Notice what he says here in verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay, so does that mean during shaking hands time that guys should only shake guys' hands and girls should only shake girls' hands? Yes or no? Jamie says yes. He's ladies, stay away from him. He doesn't want it. What do you think? No. Okay, no. The definition is found in that word touch, and the word touch means to ignite a flame. Okay, so I think without going into too much description this morning, I think we can understand what Paul is saying there. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay, that you and I need to be very careful, okay, about this particular thing. Okay, we really could say a lot about this, but sometimes, and let me just tell you, the world's philosophy of this is, hey, you know what, physical touch between a guy and a girl, it's normal. You know, I had people tell me when I was working on breaks, I'd go home for about a month in college in the summer. After I was done traveling, and I'd go back to work. And when I got into a relationship, the people that had been there were really interested to know and that sort of thing. They knew that I didn't date around or anything like that in high school. And so they were asking me a bunch of questions. And they said, well, have you kissed her yet? And I said, no, I haven't. And they said, what do you mean you haven't? I said, well, I said that's something that I want on my wedding day. That's a commitment that we've made. And of course, they thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And their question to me was, "Well, how do you know that she's a good kisser? You know, I mean, what your whole relationship could fall apart. I mean, really concerned with this, okay? And thought it was a crazy thing. But I go back to Paul's instruction, which says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay, so you and I have to put boundaries in our lives. We have to be smart about these type of things and say, okay, hey, you know, before, especially, I'm getting off into a long vein, but I've got dating on my mind, all right? So just humor me, okay? Sometimes we don't put enough structure in our life. Here's what happens. I like this girl, okay? And I like her. And then all of a sudden, she likes me. And boy, there's a spark, okay? I mean, I like her, but the fact that she likes me back, I mean, this is a game changer. Okay, I mean, for years I have liked and it's not been reciprocal. All right, but now it is. Okay? And boy, I like spending time with her. And boy, when I spend time with her, time just goes by. Where does it go? I don't know. I'm in a daze. I mean, we've spent hours on the phone. It's unbelievable. Okay, and we continue in that relationship. Hey, do you realize that God has designed you that way? He has. That's not a bad thing. God's designed you to be attracted to someone, and God's designed you to enjoy it. Really, and that's a natural thing. But He's also designed things to go in a certain direction. And all I'm saying is this: is that when you come back here, okay, and you don't have marriage on the mind. You don't have God's will on the mind, and you say, hey, I'm getting into this relationship, and you start walking this way, many times people who have not set up boundaries end up way over here with a whole lot of sin and issues and stuff. And then they turn around and they say, boy, I wish I could have prevented all of that. Now, Paul's saying here, and I know that not all of you are considering dating right now, obviously, but Paul's saying here, listen, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, and there's a reason he said that. Okay? All right, be pure. All right, that's a little tangent. We got to keep going. All right. Not only be pure, notice 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15. Who can read it? Who can read it? Let's see, Josiah is ready to read it. A few verses there. 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 15. And let's go to, Ephesians 6, 1. Who can get that? Lexi's got it for me. Very good. We'll just sit with those two verses right now. Okay. All right, Josiah, you got it? All right, lift your voice for us, and we'll find our eighth thing. Very good, very good. All right, Lexi, you got that? This is right, yes. Okay, all right. Who wants to take a stab at number 8? What is the will of God for us in relation to these verses we just read? What is it? Sure you got it, Josiah? Josiah, you realize it's perfect so far. I mean, even that last one, that was hard. Ethan bailed us out big time. You got this? All right, go ahead. I'll take that. Okay. All right. Yes. All right. Obey authority, obey government. Okay. Obey authority, obey government. Now, there's one caveat to this particular thing. What is that caveat? Yes. Yeah, right. When an authority figure is asking you to do something, that it goes against the Word of God, obviously. All right, so number 7, be pure. Number 8, obey government / authority. It's part of God's will for us. And let me just say right now, you say, Brother Scott, I want to be in the will of God. I ask you, are you obeying the authority that's in your life? Are you obeying it? Listen, I'm not saying that this whole list is easy to do, because it's not, okay? But I am saying that these are things that we have to look at our life. And again, if you want clarity for here, the specific will of God, these are things that we've got to be concerned with here, okay? Authority, government has to be a priority. Notice, next of all here, I want to get done with these last two, so I'm not going to have you turn there. But number 9, we could say, surrender your life, from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Lord wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. And this goes along with the big picture, really. Really, it does. Do you have an attitude of willful submission? Okay, because that's really what we're talking about here. Okay, there's one side of the equation that says, you know what, I don't want that type of authority over me. You know that is a key reason why people do not bend their knee to God, because they've number one, they've got pride, but number two, if God exists, there's accountability that needs to be there. And I'm accountable now for my actions. I'm accountable to someone else. And we as humans, that goes against our fabric. We want to run the show. We want to follow our own desires. And we struggle with that sometimes. So you see here that surrendering your life is something that we need to do. Also, the last one here, Hebrews chapter 10. Everybody turn there with me. Show it to you quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, and this is something especially that I hope that all of you will remember even as you get older, closer to graduating. Hebrews chapter 10, verse Notice verse 23, Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, so number 10 here, and lastly, for the general will of God, and that is this, is to be in church. Be in church. There is a big movement today to do church different ways. Some people say, well, I've got a home church going, okay? And they do a home church, whatever that means, okay? Some people say, well, I go to this church over here on this day and that church on this day, and I go over here on that day, and, I just listen to messages online. I listen to messages, okay? Those things are helpful to your Christian life, absolutely. But the point is not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. As much as I love live stream, okay, live streaming, and I hope that when you're sick, you do tune into our services. It's a blessing, especially with our shut-ins who can't be here, maybe in the evenings. It's a blessing. I believe it's a necessity, but it cannot take the place of you being in church, assembled together with God's people. It just can't. This is something that I hope that you'll remember, not only now, but always see the importance of being in church. There are people, and this has been a trend for some time. They come up through the ranks, they're in Sunday school, they're in church. You grow up in a Christian home, and college years hit. You go to a college. Before you choose that college, you haven't decided where you're going to go to church. And so you get to that college, you maybe visit a couple of places, you get busy, you drop out of church. When you go back home on summer break or whatever, maybe you slide on into church, but as your career gets started and you get busier, and let me just tell you, you will, you slowly slip away from going to church. Okay, understand this. If you're a Christian, God wants you to have that fellowship with other believers, and He wants you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these general things that we've looked at. Father, these are things that any given day we can look at and say, Lord, I know that's your will. I don't have to pray about it. Lord, help us to set our feelings aside. Or sometimes our desires and our feelings do not line up with your word or what your will is. I pray that we wouldn't deceive ourselves, Lord, and be that woman who is just throwing the stick up into the wind until it lands where we want it to. Lord, a lot of this is geared towards submission. Help us to be submitted to your perfect will and surrendered to that, whatever it may be. Lord, we know that your ways are better than ours. Father, we ask this morning that thou wilt show us the path of life in thy presence, fullness of joy. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts in the morning service. Thank you for these teenagers and their willingness to be a part of our Sunday school. In your name we pray. Amen.